Families of apartheid struggle heroes are celebrating after another victory in the South African court. The South Gauteng High Court has ruled that anti-apartheid activist Ernest Dipale did not commit or did not die by suicide, but instead his death was a result of the actions by apartheid police stationed at John Foster Square. Dipale was found hanging while in custody in August 1982, and we welcome on the line Imtiaz Kaji, the nephew of struggle hero Ahmed Timol. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti.
Jazakallah for joining us. Imtiaz, tell us a bit more about Ernest Dipale, his life in the struggle and his death.
You know, just another painful story, Mufti. 21 years old, the Dipale family committed to the struggle, terrorized by the security police. His sister, operating from Botswana, also been harassed by the security police. The family befriended by ANC member Joe Mamasela, who then turned out to be an apartheid-era askari. They take Dipale into custody on one occasion, brutally beat him up. Another attempt on his life, assassination a few days before his arrest, then gets taken into police custody, and 3 days later, the police claimed at the notorious John Foster Square police station that he hung himself with a blanket. Remember, earlier in 1982, Dr. Neil Agard had also allegedly committed suicide. We now know the reopened inquest verdict that, again, security police were responsible for his death. And in the same notorious building in 1971, Marhum Ahmed Timol, police also claim he committed suicide. So, a very, very painful, traumatic story, Mufti. But unfortunately, these are stories that are scattered throughout the country, where families have lost loved ones, and they urgently and patiently wait, you know, for their matters to be reopened in a democratic South Africa.
So, what was the ruling made by Judge Motsamai? Why did the judge rule it was improbable that Dipale had hanged himself?
It was Judge Makume, Mufti. Look, I mean, the thing is, how does one, with no utensils in yourself, cut a blanket with your own bare hands? And during the reopened inquest, they had expert witnesses who testified it's impossible, based on the strength of the blanket, that with a human hand you could actually cut the blanket and tie this blanket around your neck, lift it up at the top of the grill of your cell, and then commit suicide. So in 1983, when the inquest was held, the magistrate at that particular time only called three witnesses. And now we are well aware that the apartheid inquest were all cover up. But between the security police, the magistrates, and the state pathologists, there was open collusion, which basically gave the security police a blanket opportunity to operate with impunity. So the judge based his finding based on the evidence that was presented at the reopened inquest, which is something that none of us have ever doubted. But the challenge that we have in a democratic South Africa is that we have to provide credible evidence that to reconstruct the crime scene, you know, to absolutely make sure that the judge can make such a compelling judgment.
Yes. Imtiaz, you know, now looking at what has transpired and how things have now unfolded, alhamdulillah, it's almost as though you started the ball rolling as you fought for the truth to be revealed about, you know, your uncle.
No, alhamdulillah. I mean, that is with the grace of the Almighty, as always. I mean, when I started, I had absolutely no idea. You know, now it's becoming fashionable for people to speak about, you know, reopen inquests and so forth. But when I started, I mean, I was branded a maverick. Yeah, he's got absolutely no chance. He will never succeed. And alhamdulillah, with the grace of the Almighty, I've continued even after the Timol inquest to assist other families. And there's momentum growing. And the reality is, we must say it in the public domain, that since September 2021, the Deputy National Director of the National Prosecuting Authority, Advocate Rodney de Kock, supported by General Libya at the Hawks, have taken this initiative, have made this commitment, that despite the lengthy two decades of delays, that they are committed to have these matters reopened. And it's challenging, you know, 2 decades later to find witnesses where apartheid-era records destroyed and remain classified. Huge obstacles and challenges, and the reality is that there aren't just apartheid-era operatives and supporters who don't want this inquest open. There are people that were in the trenches with our loved ones that don't want these matters reopened, because they are complicit in one way or the other. They collaborated with the racist apartheid regime, and due to their actions, our loved ones were taken into custody. And ultimately what transpired is that they never returned. They were murdered in police detention. So we must continue supporting the efforts of Advocate de Kock, General Libya. And for me, Mufti, I will even take it further, that this matter of reopening of inquest is a moral obligation on the part of the state. And it should not be the responsibility of just the South African police, the national prosecuting authority residing under the Minister of Justice. It should be escalated to cabinet. That this cabinet that is sitting here in parliament, that is sitting in a democratic South Africa, and those politicians sitting in parliament today must take on this responsibility, because they are sitting there only because of the blood and sweat of our loved ones.
Yes, certainly. Another point that you've been vocal about your concerns, that the security police officers and others involved in the death of the apartheid struggle stalwarts are not prosecuted swiftly enough, and that many of these officers are basically getting old and dying without revealing the truth of their, or facing judgment for their action. So is this a matter of great concern?
No, most certainly. And that is why I support this initiative, because for two decades, absolutely nothing transpired. And we are now totally depending on those police officers that were associated in one way or the other that are still living. Because the reality is they should have been dealt with in 2003 after the TRC reports had been handed over. And I would estimate between 2003 and 2008, in a five-year period, if there was a concerted effort to investigate these matters, families would have got justice then. And the reality is we must not forget, obviously, under scrutiny now, alleged police officers that are living. But those that worked with them, their line commanders, their minister, deputy minister of police, the National Party politicians at the time, who all approved and never spoke out when our loved ones were killed, have all got away scot-free without being held accountable at the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Yes, certainly. May Allah reward you. May Allah grant you strength to continue with the great work. May it be a means of continuous reward for you initiating it. And our du'as are with you in support. And inshallah, we'll continue covering the great work you're doing, inshallah.
Inshallah, I mean, and most important, Maulana Mufti, that when we do these things, it's about making us better human beings. It's about appreciating the benefits that we have in a democratic South Africa with all the challenges that we face. This freedom came at a very, very high price. And if you could only see the response of the Dipali family yesterday in court, one would understand what they and many, many other families continue suffering in a democratic South Africa, Mufti.
Certainly. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.